I was really thinking I would go into organizational design with my background at a Jewish nonprofit. And then I had the opportunity to help fundraise. And I thought, at first I was like, there's no way I'm going to take a fundraising job. I'm like, I've never asked somebody for a gift. No. And then I realized it was very similar to my PR world in Los Angeles, except for it was a pitch with neshama, with soul. So instead of asking people to make sure that they saw these movies, I was asking people to follow their dreams, to create mitzvot, to give back in some way. And it ended up being a drug. Like, what could be more fulfilling than helping others on their philanthropic journey to make this world a better place? And to do it in the Jewish world, there was really nothing better to me. And that started my journey on a development background. And then slowly, you know, doing a few different positions. I worked at Birthright Israel Foundation in New York, and then at my children's Jewish day school, and then CJDS, and then Jewish Columbus.
And welcome back to another episode of Kolot. This is your host, Rabbi Hillel Kapenstein, director of the Columbus Community Kolot. And it's a great honor and privilege to bring to you this special edition of Kolot featuring Columbus's very own CEO of Jewish Columbus, Julie Tilson Stanley. Julie, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Rabbi. It's such an honor to be on your show. I'm a huge fan.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. So everyone knows you today as the CEO of Jewish Columbus, but you're also homegrown. So why don't we start there for just the beginning? Tell us a little bit about your background and upbringing.
Sure. I grew up in Columbus in Bexley. My parents are very engaged in the community, as were my grandparents, a blessed memory. And they really taught me and modeled for me how to give back, how to show up, how to be good communal leaders. And they did that in a variety of forms. They did that by volunteering. They did that by being active in their synagogues and other Jewish institutions, and by giving of their resources.
Wow.
And tzedakah.
Yeah. And tell us about your entrance to Jewish Columbus.
So my husband and I were living in Brooklyn in Park Slope, New York, and we had our third child. And, you know, Rabbi, you can still, you can be a 40-year-old and miss your parents and be a 40-year-old and miss your community.
Sure.
It's not lost on me how special Columbus is and how special the Columbus Jewish community is. And living in Los Angeles and Washington, D.C. and New York City, I really got to see all different aspects of a vibrant Jewish community, and yet I still missed home and missed the local Columbus Jewish community. And so we decided to move back. Rabbi Tali Zelkowitz, who is a good friend, who at that point was the head of school at Columbus Jewish Day School, we had met actually in Brooklyn, and she had talked to me about she had moved here and how fabulous it was, and inspired me to move back and get involved and work at the day school. And then there was an opportunity to work at Jewish Columbus. I started my professional life actually at Hillel. I was a Hillel professional at the George Washington University and then at UCLA. I loved working in the engagement setting and meeting people where they are. So it was an extension of university, and I met them and just talked to them about what it meant to be a Jew on campus at that point. And then from there, I went into entertainment PR and worked at 20th Century Fox in LA.
Wow.
And also really enjoyed my experience. But there was just something missing. I love feature films. I worked on films like Star Wars and The Devil Wears Prada and Big Mama's House 2. And while it was really exciting and I learned a lot, especially about communications and interpersonal relationships, I was missing that Jewish piece again. And so I decided to apply to graduate school and ended up, at that point, my husband and I were engaged. And my my now husband and I were, Matt and I were engaged, and we decided to move to New York.
Wow.
And to attend graduate school there for Judaic Studies and Public Administration. So it was a dual master's degree. And we plan God laughs kind of thing.
Yeah, that's right.
And we thought we would be there for a few years, but we ended up loving the city and Jewish life there. And then afterwards, I was really thinking I would go into organizational design with my background at a Jewish nonprofit. And then I had the opportunity to help fundraise. And I thought, at first I was like, there's no way I'm going to take a fundraising job. I'm like, I've never asked somebody for a gift. No. And then I realized it was very similar to my PR world in Los Angeles, except for it was a pitch with neshama, with soul. So instead of asking people to make sure that they saw these movies, I was asking people to follow their dreams, to create mitzvot, to give back in some way. And it ended up being a drug. Like, what could be more fulfilling than helping others on their philanthropic journey to make this world a better place? And to do it in the Jewish world, there was really nothing better to me. And that started my journey on a development background, and then slowly, doing a few different positions. I worked at Birthright Israel Foundation in New York, and then at my children's Jewish Day School, and then CJDS, and then Jewish Columbus.
Wow! And when you think about an umbrella organization, so there's really no beginning and there's really no end, and you're constantly on. I'm sure there's a lot of pressure and a lot of stress, but I imagine it becomes much more manageable when you have a drive and there's something you're excited about. So my question is, what are you most proud of the day-to-day things that you're doing at Jewish Columbus?
Oh, Rabbi, that's a really hard question, because I'm proud of so many things that we're doing. You're right. Umbrella giving can feel overwhelming, but a mentor said to me, don't retreat to the convenience of being overwhelmed.
Ooh.
Yes, isn't it? And we don't have that option. The Jewish people don't have that option.
Historically,
they don't. And we don't now.
For sure. Right?
There are so many pressing needs. We are in unprecedented time. And just over this past year, let's think about what Jewish life has been like. On one hand, the rise of anti-Semitism in Columbus is up at least, or Central Ohio, I should say, is up 40%. Nationwide, I think the ADL is counting up to 360%.
Yeah, I heard those numbers.
Right? Our beloved state of Israel is facing threat on a daily basis. And it's not a but, and we have seen record engagement in Columbus. I'm sure you have at the Kollel.
Yeah.
Our clergy are seeing this in synagogue life.
For sure.
On campus, we're seeing it. And not just in coming to events, but wanting to convene, wanting to take action.
Get involved. Yeah.
And we have a good problem on our hands. And that's really the hope piece, because we are a resilient people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, because after October 7th, I was kind of wondering, where's the, are people going to start going to their closet and kind of like tone it down a little bit? But you saw the exact opposite. People stood up. They were strong. They wanted to get engaged. What is the biggest challenge because of all that?
Security. We saw, even with the rise of anti-Semitism, and even with, threats to synagogues and campus life, people were still coming. And they're still coming for that Jewish pride. But there's not a day that goes by that I and our senior team and our board and our phenomenal security director, Steve Flowers, don't think about this. We realize there are many vulnerabilities in the community, and we're working on them. And the good news is we have a plan. And part of that plan is to build a best-in-class security program in Columbus. We have the good fortune to have friends in many cities that we looked to, that we benchmarked. We looked at North Stars, and we looked at cities that are similar to ours, and almost in our own backyard, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Detroit.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
They have wonderful programs, and the security execs there, along with their board chairs and their Jewish professionals, have all offered their help. And we are right now, it's really exciting what we are going to be able to build over the next 18 months to 2 years, because what we don't want to have happen is we don't want Rabbi Morris and you or the JCC or a synagogue to have to worry about security. We want you to do your job, right? We want you to build Jewish joy and vibrant Jewish life and education. We want to take that burden from you, and we do feel that's Jewish Columbus's unique responsibility. So if a security officer isn't able to come that day or gets sick, instead of someone else having to frantically look for someone, we will be able to have those relationships, make sure that's happening. Everyone will be on the same license plate readers, the same panic buttons. We will hopefully be able to link into the real-time crime center that the city of Columbus is building.
Oh, wow.
We are fortunate to have incredible relationships with all the police chiefs in Central Ohio and mayors. In fact, Howie Bagelman, who CEO...
He gets a shout out on every program.
Does he? Of course he does. He's the best. We love Howie. We love you. Howie is an incredible partner. And Howie, along with our board chair, Jonathan Feibel, and Bill Byers, who is our JCRC chair, Jewish Community Relations co-chair, along with Andrea Britcher, we've been working on security, and we held a meeting with police chiefs and mayors to talk about these issues. And the good news is they care, they want to support us, and they're working with us.
But with all that comes a lot of expenses, and that takes us to the campaign. And I'm sure that means that the resources are going to really go up. The needs are up, the costs are up, in addition to all these new and exciting things they're going to implement. Talk to us a little bit about the campaign. I know there are some very bold aspirations, which, yes, I have no doubt will be accomplished. But tell us, what's going on?
So we have done some reflection. When I assumed this role, which is an honor to serve as a CEO, our staff motto was be curious, be kind, reflect, implement, and show results. Because when you're curious, you can't be arrogant. When you're curious, you want partnership and true partnership and collaboration, right? So we started to ask these questions and really ask our community and our communal leaders, both agency execs, clergy, and our donors. And a few of our leading donors and leaders said, we're underperforming. When we benchmark across communities, our community did become complacent. Last year, Les Wexner had said in a meeting, he's like, I've become complacent. And it jump-started the community to be reflective, to have that curiosity and reflect and realize, you know what? It's true. So what are we going to do about it, right? We can't admire the problem, as Les says.
Yeah.
Instead, we're going to do something about it. And we've set a very bold goal. We are going to be the best Jewish community in North America. And we will double our campaign, and we will build a best-in-class security program so that all of our agencies and synagogues can do what they do best, as I mentioned. So yeah, we can have this vibrant life. If our mission is to have a vibrant and secure community, if we don't have that security first, we're not going to have the vibrancy. And we want all of our talented professionals and incredible community members to live an amazing Jewish life. Did you know that we are among the fastest growing cities in the country?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't get talked about enough. It really, I mean,
right
now it is, but
it doesn't. And I think you can fact check me on this, but I think we're outpacing Austin in our growth. And we want to be really prepared. If in 10 years, it could mean that our Jewish population could increase by 30, 40, or even 50%. Right now, yeah, we think there's around 30,000 Jews in the Central Ohio area. Wow. Rabbi, can you imagine if we have 50,000 Jews?
Yeah, and if you think about it, it's not just in one area. You have, obviously, Intel, but that's going to jumpstart a whole host of different types of jobs. And then you have Ohio State, So people are going to be coming for education, and they're not going to really need to go, you know, anywhere else.
So true. When we are recruiting people, we always say, even before we knew we were among the fastest growing cities, Columbus is almost recession proof, right? You have one of the largest universities in the country. It's a capital city.
Yeah.
It's a retail capital, plus Intel, plus Abbott Foods, plus, you know, there's so many other incredible corporations. And in the venture capital world, right, people are moving here. VCs are moving here because of the quality of life.
Yeah, no, and affordability.
And affordability, that's right. And we have incredible Jewish day schools and public schools.
Yeah, and when you think about the foundation, making sure the community's secure, and hopefully all of this will, then you get to do something.
That's right.
Do you think it's going to go from there? Once you have that foundation, people feel safe. Now we could focus on the real stuff.
That's right.
What do you think we could do then?
After we put our masks on first, right, and do the security, the next pieces that we want to do and what we are starting to do is that curious piece and talking with our clergy and agency execs and asking them, what do you need? Because if we're going to be the thoughtful funders and we're going to be the partners, we want to hear. And what we have heard so far, we're still in that dreaming phase, but we've heard first and foremost is we need to make Jewish life affordable. It's expensive to be Jewish. And how are we going to make Jewish life affordable immediately if we double the campaign, right? We have that security piece. We're going to make sure that there are enough subsidies for Jewish day school, for Jewish preschools, for Jewish overnight camp and day camp to start. Hands down, that will increase immediately.
For starters.
Yeah. Like that, we already are seeing that need, and our planning and impact professionals and lay leaders are already looking at this. We know that's an area for us to increase because, again, it's really expensive to be Jewish. So it's education. It's combating anti-Semitism in other ways. There's an offense and a defense, right?
Yeah.
The defense is the security piece. The second part is the education piece. We are going to really build out our community relations pieces and ensure that we are educating and building those allies. We have some strong allies now, and that's thanks to the great work of so many people in the community. And we're only going to build on that because we need to. And that takes some leadership and some time and some marketing, you know, to make sure that that happens. And there are a few clergy that are already doing some great interfaith work and doing seminars and and different education opportunities in schools.
Yeah, and when you think about that, once you have that foundation, people are safe, then you get to, you know, with that whatever subsidies are available, especially for the preschool and Jewish education, now you think about Columbus. I mean, well, number one.
That's right. And we're also, there are so many other ways, right? So that affordability piece of the education and then the combating anti-Semitism on the offense and defense and working with campus life, it's really important that we do that. And we are always going to take care of our most vulnerable Jewish populations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you know that we still have 158 Holocaust survivors? And Karen Mosenter at JFS told me that, you know, that Holocaust survivors live 7 years longer than their peers.
Wow.
Do you want to know why?
Resiliency.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You nailed it. Resilience. And Columbus is a wonderful place to live, and our services are really strong. So we will, that's a non-negotiable, right? Taking care of our vulnerable Jewish populations.
That's who we are.
That's who we are.
Yeah.
And making sure that they also have food for all the holidays and year-round, not just on the holidays. Kosher food is really expensive if you keep kosher.
And kosher is something that you guys have been very involved with.
That's right. I can't tell you everything that's happening, but maybe if you invite me back with a few others, we can talk about what is happening.
That was part of the setup.
Okay, good. We're really excited about kosher food in Columbus, and it is also it's also important to us.
Jews eat well, you know.
That's right. They do. They need to eat well. And then lastly, so we have education, combating anti-Semitism, security, and Israel. Our connection to Israel and the Jewish people worldwide. There is something bigger than us, and you see that when you are in Israel. that we are a peoplehood. And, you know, we have this community-wide mission that we just
launched. You beat me to it.
Oh, sorry.
I was going to bring that up, but go ahead.
Okay, I'll tell you. Are you coming? I hope you're coming.
I already registered.
Okay. So I will everyone should register because
absolutely.
We have a good problem on our hand. We think we're going to sell out. We already have, I think, 75 guests registered, and this launched a week ago.
Wow.
And Macor, who is the travel company who lots of cities use, I think Miami and Philly use them for their community missions. The head of Macor shared with me, as did Rabbi Misha Zinkow, who's helping us plan, who is a Columbus leader, said, I can't get over this, that your registration is where it is.
Yeah.
And in a year, when it's a precarious year, we decided, you know, talking with Rabbi Zinkow, you know, we said, safety and security is our top concern. And he said, as is ours.
Mm-hmm.
Of course it is. He said, but let me tell you this. You are one of the only communities. Columbus is one of the only communities right now signed up for a large mission. And what that tells me about Columbus is that you have a commitment to the Jewish state and to the Jewish people. And we are so proud of that.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, was it close to 1,000 people that went to the National Mall in November?
Planes, trains, you know, automobiles. Like it was, I think we had 500 in buses. Rabbi Drandoff and Shari Hitzagi were so instrumental. I think they had, 250. And then OSU Chabad and OSU Hillel had two buses. And then Jewish Columbus had more buses. And then we know, because people told us about their travel plans, we had people flying in and also caravanning who couldn't make it on the buses. It was remarkable.
And it's interesting because what this trip tells you, it's not a one-off. There's a real connection between Columbus and Israel, which is, I know the Diamonds would be so proud, but everyone should really be proud about that.
Thank you. The Diamond family has been instrumental in making this trip affordable. Again, making Jewish life affordable is really important. We have that security piece, and then if we want to have a vibrant community, if we want to be the best Jewish community in North America, you need to make sure people have accessibility.
Yeah, and where could people register for that trip?
You can go on jewishcolumbus.org and you can register, or you can contact, there's info@jewishcolumbus.org and we can direct you to register, and we will probably be sending out a few more reminders. You need your passport to register, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
If you do have questions or need any help, we have our phenomenal Jewish Columbus team will be able to help you.
And I can't help but ask, once you're on the website, a person can make a gift to the annual campaign too, I presume, right?
You know it. So let me tell you, I got off of the annual campaign because I'm just so excited about the incredible work we're doing. And really to have Kollel as a partner is really remarkable.
Sure, thank you.
It's a gift that we have a Kollel in our community and that we have such strong educators at the Kollel who want a partner. A huge shout out also to you because
you
always show up for everything. And it's really like, it's more than just nice. It's menschy, but it's also, I think what it should look like, what partnership really should look like.
Yeah. Was it like 2 weeks ago we were at a meeting and Steve Schoenstein talked about the door's got to swing both ways. And, that's important. And when you think about collaboration, it's not just where you are, it's where they are.
Yes, that's right. It is. And that, I couldn't agree more. And, again, going back to Hillel, my first job out of college, that's what they teach you, to meet people where they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially with the younger people. And once we're on the topic of younger people, how do you inspire them to get in this mode of giving back? What have you found successful?
That's a great question. We have a new young Jewish Columbus director, Sarah Vinson, who started just a couple weeks ago that I hope people will meet. And her job is to meet people where they are. What do they want to do? Do they want to be, again, we don't want to tell you what to do. That's mm-hmm. not our role mm-hmm. because our role isn't in, we're not in the business of programming for programming's sake, right? Our business is to fundraise and to make sure this community is vibrant and safe. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. then we look to all these beautiful, incredible institutions to do that work. So it means partnering with the Kollel and partnering with different synagogues and institutions to make sure things are happening and to model leadership. That is a cornerstone of our work. We have an incredible leadership program mm-hmm. that is run by Rabbi Yoni Nadiv.
Sure.
And
close friend, yeah.
Yeah. And he, what we are finding is people want to show up in meaningful ways. They don't want fluffy stuff, right? You're seeing that too with your programs. They want like real content.
Yeah, no whipped cream, yeah.
No, and good food, right?
And goes together.
Yes, it goes together. And they want a program that's thoughtful. And so we have provided now, I think we're going to be in our fifth year of our leadership Jewish Columbus cohort. And that's helping people with what it means to be a leader and what it means to show up and say hineni in different aspects of your leadership. How do you show up on a board? How do you show up on a committee? How do you show up if you're going to plan something for an organization? And how do you think about your philanthropy? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So going back to philanthropy, we ask these questions all of the time. Like, what is a meaningful gift? And we often confuse, to quote a good mentor and friend, Larry Moses.
I had a feeling that was going to Larry.
Did you know that was?
Yeah, because when I first came, Larry and I would get coffee a lot, and he would share some of these nuggets. But yeah, go ahead.
Gosh, I know his nugget. He's so wise. He says, we often confuse generosity with leadership. I think about that a lot. So it's incredible when people are generous. Like, that's what keeps us going, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're a leader. And it doesn't necessarily mean that somebody, we put them into a bucket and maybe they don't want to be in that bucket. You know, maybe they were trying to get them to do this and this and this, and that's not their comfort zone. That's not what gives them meaning, right? And so, and some people could give, you know, like their gift might not be as big as some others, but they are a true leader and they have, you know, they actually have the following.
You know, I think Liz Shaffran, past board chair, I think she put it, there's time, treasure, and talent.
That's right. That's right. Yes. Liz says that that was also a motto of Bobby Schottenstein's, our inaugural board chair.
A previous guest on the program.
Oh, yes, I know. And Audrey Tuckerman, right?
Yes.
So Audrey. Who was, yes. Audrey is one of the reasons I came to work for Jewish Columbus. Mm-hmm. To see a woman leader who is so passionate and share that we were going to do great things. And then to have, well, to start with Bobby and then Audrey and then Liz and now Jonathan. Mm-hmm. Are we so lucky? I mean, I'm so lucky, but the community is
the
so
community.
Lucky.
Yeah. And what's interesting, because you make that list, the relationships that they carry from businesses, elected officials, mm-hmm. the medical community.
I know. And they care. And again, the qualities of a leader that you want is that curiosity and that reflection and passion. And all of them have that. And they're so proud of their Jewish identity that it's unwavering. And so I think that makes a difference. And in their connection to Israel and making sure, you know, we are, they're all behind this too. We're going to double this campaign. And which leads me to, we had an event last week.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we are calling our major donor paysetter gift, mm-hmm. paysetter event. And this event was to really set the pace, the new pace for the campaign.
High bar.
It was a high bar intentionally because, to go back to what Les Wexner said, is we become complacent. We were underperforming. If we were reflecting and being true about our leadership, we could do better. And so asking ourselves, what can we actually do? What would be a meaningful gift? A gift that will stretch and that will, you know, that won't impact our lifestyle to a point where it's sacrificial, if you will, right? Because that's not going to help anybody.
Right.
We don't want resentment. We want you to feel proud.
Inspired, proud. Yeah.
Exactly. And we, thanks to a match from the Wexners, that if you if someone is giving $25,000 or more and you double your gift, they will match.
Wow.
And if someone
in addition,
and if someone is under $25,000 but gets to that $25,000, they double their gift and get to $25,000, they will also match that gift. And guess what? It's working because everyone that we've solicited in that cohort so far has either doubled, tripled, or quadrupled their gifts.
They're on fire.
We are going to double the campaign. We call it in the fundraising world, in the development world, gift for gift, card for card, if you remember, we're up over 70%. It's remarkable. And in a healthy year, like let's say in a normal year, across NGOs, like not just Jewish nonprofits, but across any non-government organization, like if you're up in that benchmarking 5, 6, 7, 8%, like you're having a good year.
Yeah, yeah.
It's unheard of. And it's because we asked, two, leaders lead, or A, I went from A to two,
excuse me.
A, we asked, B, people were curious and reflective. C, this is the time, this is really our moment, the Jewish people need us. D, they knew they could, and that we were complacent.
Mm-hmm. But there's a capacity to do more.
There's a capacity, and in good faith, that this will be the new baseline, and these gifts will set the pace. Now, yeah. I do want to share that while we have raised more than we raised in the entire year last year for campaign, mm-hmm. we're well on our way to doubling, but we still have $6 million left to raise.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And that is that's intentional because it involves everybody. It's not just the top, it's everybody.
Yes, and that really brings me to my last question. But before my last question, yeah. I think what people should take from our conversation is also that you are in touch with the other members of the community that are not working for Jewish Columbus. So the
sure.
dollars will be maximized for the needs that they're seeing. Because, you know, everyone can't see everything. And having that partnership is so important. My final question, and I know that this is a very popular one, so I want to give you the opportunity to address it, is the idea of umbrella giving that many people, you know, they kind of like focus on, you know, this is my cause. But umbrella is, you know, it's macro. How do you inspire people to get involved and give meaningfully to an umbrella organization that's dealing maybe a little bit beyond what they've been focused on until now?
That's a really good question, and what community members and donors should be asking of us. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to share. I'll start with, if there was no umbrella giving in the Jewish community, who would take care, again, of those survivors?
Mm-hmm.
Who would take care of all of the aging buildings? Who would take care of indigent burial, right? Some of the things that we don't talk about that are behind the scenes that need to happen, that are crucial, again, to that vibrant life. Who would handle security? Because right now, again, going back to it, people, it's like that foundation. Nobody wants to fix their roof. Nobody wants to fix their HVAC.
Yeah, it's not a headline.
No, it's not a headline. And you're like, ugh, I don't want to do that. But guess what? You have to do that. If you don't have that, then you can't have vibrancy. And this security is our new normal. This isn't going away. This is not going away. I hate to say it. It's not going away.
It's a new norm.
It's our new norm. And most organizations and synagogues have not budgeted for this. Rightfully so. They weren't like they, and the costs, to your point, have gone up and up and up. And we are going to do that for you. We are going to take that off your plate. I know it's not going to be this headline, right? In the way that people want it to be, like, we're sending all these kids to camp, which we're also going to do.
Yeah.
and free trips to Israel, which we're also going to do. But first, we're going to build this security program. And we're actually hiring to partner with our security director, a security executive who's going to build this piece out. Steve Flowers is still going to work with all of our agencies and still monitor the dark web with our, you know, like, and those pieces, and work with law enforcement. He doesn't necessarily monitor, but he works with folks who do. So that's still going to happen while we're building it out. Mm-hmm. So that's one piece, second piece. The third piece of umbrella giving is, you know, someone once said this to me, if the Federation Jewish Columbus were to dissolve tomorrow, guess what would happen on Thursday, or would have happen after Yontif, after Sukkot? Mm-hmm. What do you think would happen, Rabbi?
I'm nervous to even think about it.
Two people would be like, you know what? I have this great idea. We should have an organization where we're convening everybody, where we're all troubleshooting, you know, in times of emergency and crisis, but also in the good times. It would start all over again. And we were here, we talk about this all the time in the Federation world, we were here the day before so that we can be here tomorrow and the next day.
Wow, that's powerful. I've never heard it put that way. That's powerful. Wow. Couple of rapid fire questions.
Yeah.
You didn't mention Bruin.
Oh my gosh. Do you know about my dog? Our dog, our golden doodle, Bruin Yitzhak Tilson Stanley, which we do call him by his full name often. He is our fourth child. I have three boys, Jack, Charlie, and Saul, and Bruin Yitzhak Tilson Stanley. Mm-hmm. And, we are a UCLA family. My husband, Matt, and his entire family are UCLA, are Bruins. Mm. And my husband played at UCLA. He played football for UCLA, as did his father and as did his uncle.
Oh, wow.
And so we cheer on the Bruins. And my kids joke, like, I wish I knew more, Rabbi, about football, but I can't really tell. I can't really tell you more than I think they're excited that now UCLA is in whatever this league. What's this league?
I don't know. Is it Big Ten or
Big
something?
Big Ten, yeah. Or Big 12, whatever. Yes. Yeah.
Big something.
big something. Right. Yes. Yeah.
Next rapid fire question. How many times a day does Steve Schoenstein call you?
Steve, I start my day with Steve, and my kids love Steve. Do your kids love Steve? Oh,
who doesn't?
I know. Whose kids don't love Steve? Yesterday, or it was 2 days ago, I was dropping off one of my children at school, and I was on the phone with Steve, and he said, well, when am I going to go over to Steve's? Mm. Because just going over to Steve's house is fun. Right?
Yeah,
it's fun. And you know what? The best part about Steve, he probably calls, I don't know, we probably talk like a few times a day. And he always ends with, how's your family?
Yes.
And, you know, your family and your health are so important to having a meaningful life. And that's what inspires me about Jewish Columbus, because we're able to help families and to provide meaning in partnership with a kollel and with a synagogue and with the JCC and WHV and all the other wonderful institutions.
Wow. And my last rapid fire question is, do you ever have free time? And if yes, what do you do with it?
That's a great question.
The answer is no, then.
The answer is no. But here's what I do, a few things I do. One, I walk my dog, Bruin Yitzhak Tilson Stanley, often, and okay. I listen to podcasts often. A few of my favorites are Dan Senor's Call Me Back, Barry Weiss's Honestly, For Heaven's Sake, just a few like that really feed my neshama, and yours.
Oh, thank you.
and I obviously love hanging with my children and watching some sort of sporting, which I'm not usually paying attention to the sporting event, but I'm...
The vibes.
Yeah. I'm with them, yeah. And I love to read.
Oh.
I love to read. I just, I am in the middle of rereading The Nightingale. Have you read that book? It's a historical fiction about the Holocaust and about, I don't want to give it away, about a Jewish and non-Jewish family in France.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
We'll leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that.
All right. For all those watching, we're going to put it on the screen. In real time, go to jewishcolumbus.org.
Yes.
And click the donate button at the top.
Yes.
Or
thank
speak
you.
To your advisor at the Columbus Jewish Foundation.
Yes, you can talk to, there's so many people you can talk to. You can talk to Caitlin Sherman, who is our fabulous new VP of special campaigns and major gifts. Or you can talk to our other incredible VP, Lori Wishney, who is VP of Legacy Giving, who we all know, and Rachel Gleitman, who runs our campaign, or me. I love it. Like, the beauty of this job is, like, again, talking to people about their passions. And at Jewish Columbus, there really is something for everyone. And I'll end with this. Community is about the diversity, that we can celebrate diversity and we can come together. Even if we disagree on how we get there, we all agree and we all are rooting for the Jewish people.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, that's great. What a way to finish. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for the partnership, you know, between the Kollel and I'm sure everyone else in the community. We're deeply grateful. Very excited for what comes after security. You kind of like dropped kosher, so we're going to have a part two to this.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's more, by the way. But
yeah, we can't tell you. We can't yeah. drop kosher, drop free Israel trips, dropped affordability.
Preschool, right?
Preschool, day school, camp. Like, yeah, and trips for college, which, by the way, the Diamond family already generously gives to, and so does the Wexner family. Mm-hmm. But we're going to be offering even more trips for high school students.
Oh, wow.
And for families. And I hope I see everybody next October 27th. Did we share this part? That an El Al plane is landing at CMH and flying directly to Tel Aviv.
Yes.
I think...
it's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. I think it's been 25, 30 years.
Wow. That's incredible.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff. That's for sure. Okay, yeah. Great. Thanks for coming on. Thank you to our production team. JewishColumbus.org. Click the donate button or speak to Lori, Julie, Rachel, whoever it is. Thank you for tuning in, listening to us on Kollot. Looking forward to seeing you next time.
To listen to all Kollot episodes and see upcoming guests, visit kollotpodcast.com. We are also on all podcast players. Type in Kollot on iTunes, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, Podbean, and Amazon. Share with your friends and please make sure to give us a 5-star review. Kollot is a project of the Columbus Community Kollel, a full-time Jewish learning center in Bexley, staffed with high-caliber Torah scholars. Ever since 1995, boys, girls, men, and women from all backgrounds and affiliations have found many opportunities to connect with Torah and mitzvos at the Kollel. Whether it's a study partner, engaging lesson, or a program, the Kollel is your one-stop shop for all your Jewish learning. If you want to know how you can benefit from the Kollel, visit thekollel.org. That is thekollel.org, and forever be inspired.